Welcome to the Right Division Network Podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word Rightly Divided. We're going to be continuing our studies here in the book of 1 Thessalonians, and we are here in chapter number 4. We've been studying verse number 17, which says, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." So as we've been looking at this event that is known as the rapture or the catching out of the saints, we've come to the issue of where it says to meet the Lord in the air, and looking at really the idea of who it is that the Apostle Paul is saying the members of the body of Christ are going to meet in the air. Now, we've talked about how the individuals who are going to be part of this event, this is the believers during this dispensation today, those who have put their trust in the gospel message which saves someone today, the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. The information we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. That is the gospel. Once someone puts their trust in that, they're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, and they have the guarantee of being part of this event known as the catching out of the saints. So what we're going to do today is really talk about the Lord that's being spoken of here, and the whole issue of us going to meet him. Now, we see how Paul, let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, and we're going to see the statement that we've read this passage many times as we've been studying out the issue here, and we're going to read verses 51 and we'll read down through, and it says, "Behold, I shew you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." So as Paul starts describing this, he's talking about that there's a mystery that he's giving to them. He defines what it is. He's talking about the fact that we are going to receive a body that's going to be able to exist in the heavenly places. And he continues on in verse 52, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And the whole issue that the Apostle Paul is getting to is the fact that we have a victory over the issues of law, sin, and death. That's a reality of what we have, and it has nothing to do with anything that we have done. It has everything to do with what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross. You know, we're here in the Easter season. You know, this coming Sunday will be Easter Sunday, and individuals will be focused on the events of what happened on the cross. And unfortunately, a lot of times where the focus tends to be ends up just being on the fact that he died and not the issue of the fact that he conquered death by the fact that he was buried and rose again. You know, it's not just the cross, it's the fact that there was an empty tomb that allowed for that complete victory that the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished, that the Apostle Paul is recording for us here, explaining to us the fact that we have this victory, and that's, you know, the good news that we have. That's why this whole chapter starts with the issue of the gospel message for today. Let's turn over to Colossians chapter number 3. And we're going to have here a passage as the Apostle Paul is writing to the assembly in Colossae that describes again the fact that we're going to be meeting the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to read the first four verses of Colossians chapter number 3. It says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." And so, the Apostle Paul, writing to this assembly in Colossae, talks about the issue of, and he starts with the thing of, if ye then be risen with Christ, and focused on the thing of that anyone who has put their trust in the gospel message is identified as being risen with Christ. So if that's who you are, then the focus should be to seek the things that are above, setting our affection on the things above. You know, and too often individuals who are members of the body of Christ are not putting their affection on the heavenly things, and they're putting their affection, their focus on the things of the earth, and tend to ignore the heavenly things. They tend to ignore where our focus is supposed to be. And the fact that he reaffirms this thing of saying, you know, when Christ, who is our life, he's the source of the life that we have, you know, we have that guarantee of eternal life because of what he did. When he appears, then we're going to appear with him in glory. So the Apostle Paul is telling the individuals in Colossae the exact same thing that he spoke to the individuals in Thessalonica, giving them the issue of the hope that we have. And unfortunately, you have some individuals who, you know, want to set aside the passage in Thessalonica because they're, as they're looking through Paul's epistles, that they're saying, well, this was written during his time in prison, and so all the things that are written in his prison epistles are written to not the body of Christ. They're written to, you know, Israel, or they're written to, and they come up with these other individuals that these passages are written to, so that way they can take those things away, and then they start denying the fact that there's even an event known as the catching out of the saints. Paul repeatedly is bringing this up because he knows that this is the hope that we are to have. If There is not that hope. And let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 for just a moment. And this is one of those passages that, especially in the time that we are with heading into the Easter holiday, that there's a focus, hopefully, on the issues of the resurrection. But the resurrection is associated with the issue of the glory that we're going to be in. Now, if you start denying those things, you've got a problem, as Paul brings up. Let's, in 1 Corinthians 15, let's start here in verse number 12, and we're going to read down through verse number 19. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. And so the conclusion that Paul comes to as he's speaking about how there are individuals who are denying the issue of the resurrection, that we would be of all men most miserable, you know, with the fact that we would be seeing that this is the only hope that we have. Paul clearly lies out the issue of the hope. He talks about the future glorification we are going to have, you know, over in the book of Romans, in Romans chapter number 8. He talks about, let's go over to Titus chapter number 2 to read the issue of how Paul brings up the issue of the hope that we have. And here in Titus chapter number 2, we're going to start here at verse number 11. It says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. And so, as Paul is writing here to Titus, he brings up, and let's read verse 13 again, when he says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That this is what we are looking for. We are looking for his appearing because there is a hope that is associated with it. The hope that we are going to be with him in glory for all of eternity, that we're going to receive that glorified body, that we're going to be part of the judgment seat of Christ to receive the reward that we would have based on what we have done during this life. These are the things that are part of this hope that we really should understand, that we should be able to share these things with other individuals, because the reality is, when you look at the things of this world and you look at how individuals are living their life day to day. You see how there's an issue of where people seem to not have hope, that there's something missing because they're trying to focus on just the things of this world. They're trying to focus on the things that are controlled by the prince of the power of the air, that we have that understanding of from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, of the fact that Satan has control over all of the things of this world. And since he has control over those things, the things of this world are opposed to God. And since they're opposed to God, that's not where our focus is supposed to be. Our hope is a heavenly hope. You know, that's why we see, if we turn back to the book right before this, 2 Timothy, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. So we're going to be reading here from the last piece of what the Apostle Paul wrote. So this is his last epistle, and it's the last section of his last epistle. And here we're going to have him writing as he's trying to encourage Timothy to remain faithful to the doctrine which has been given to us today. We're going to pick up here in verse number 6 of 2 Timothy chapter number 4. And it says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." So we have this issue of the fact that Paul's talking about, you know, the individuals who are going to receive, as he calls it, this crown of righteousness that's associated with the resurrection that we are going to be part of, because it happens with his appearing, and it's happening and given to, as it says, unto all them also that love his appearing. Now, when he comes back for us, everyone is going to love his appearing. Now, when you get into the book of Revelation, and it talks about him coming back to the earth and, you know, setting up the kingdom, you see how there, you know, there's not a love. That's a, you know, you see how there's fear that comes about with it. There's going to be resentment that comes up. There's going to be anger that comes up, because, you know, there's an eventual thing of where Satan is able to turn all the nations against Israel because of the fact that Israel has the blessings, and that the other nations are going to be jealous of those things and are going to end up being opposed to what God actually is doing. And if we just look up at verse number 1 of this same chapter, you see how Paul brings up the issues of when it says, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom." So he brings up the issues of his appearing, him coming back for us. He brings up the kingdom which is going to be established, and how the issues of judgment are associated with those things. And that's why it's the Lord who's going to appear. That this is who it, you know, who we're looking for. Why we are, you know, to be focused on this hope, to be focused on who he is, what he has done for us. And I made a reference to the book of Romans. Let's turn over to Romans chapter number 8. And we're going to read that verse that I had made a reference to bring, you know, that ties in with that hope that we have. And we're going to read verse number 30 of Romans chapter number 8. And it says, "Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified." And we're going to focus on the last part of this verse here, the issues of whom he justified. And those who have received justification have received it by the fact that we've put our trust in the gospel message for today, so we have that justification guaranteed. And because we have that justification guaranteed, this is why Paul can say, "Them he also glorified." So even though we have not actually truly received that glorification because we're still here, we have that promise of the fact that we are going to be glorified. And we know that we have that promise and that guarantee because, as Ephesians 1 verses 13 and 14 say, "In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory." And we have that guarantee, and it says, until the redemption of the purchased possession, until he comes back for us, we have that guarantee because we are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. We know if we go over to Philippians chapter number 1, we read verse number 6, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." That the work that has been done in us is guaranteed until the day of Jesus Christ. Verse 10, "That ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ." So that we are going to be without offense, we're going to be sincere, which means that we're going to be without any sort of flaw or blemish till the day of Christ. And we are all these things, that we're without offense, that we're sincere, that we have this good work in us. This is all because of what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross. And that's where, as we've said during this broadcast, we're right at the Easter holiday. The door of utterance is being opened. The opportunity to be able to share this message, to tell people what the Lord Jesus Christ did for them. We have that opportunity right now, and we need to take advantage of this, to share this message with individuals, that way they can be part of this hope that we've been studying out here in the book of 1 Thessalonians. Now, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have some audio files of previous messages. We have some charts to help you in your study of God's Word. We have information on how to join our Sunday service and our Wednesday night Bible study live as they're being broadcast on Facebook. You can also watch them at any future point in time as well. And as always, if you happen to be in the Buffalo area, we would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings, 9 a.m. at 83 Anderson Road, located in Cheektowaga, New York. And as always, keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.